Good morning. Happy Easter and welcome. In the spirit of welcome, I invite you to greet one another. Please turn to a neighbor and say hello. I invite you to continue that conversation after the service in the parish hall, and I also invite you now to get cozy with that person that you just greeted. Would you squeeze into the center of the pew to make space for folks who are still arriving so that they can join us in worship? Thank you kindly. Unity Church is committed to welcoming everyone, especially those who have been excluded due to race, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Your gifts and your wounds are welcome here. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are visiting here for the first time. We hope that you find Unity Church to be a place that helps you to find and keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a life of integrity, service, and joy. If you'd like to learn more about Unity Church and about our faith tradition, please stop by the welcome table in the parish hall following the service. There, you can sign up for the pathway to membership classes, including Welcome to Unity, our class for newcomers. It'll be offered at 7 p.m. this Wednesday, April 7th. I'd like also to draw your attention to This Week at Unity, which serves as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement in the life of this church. The Unity Church Evergreen Quilters annual art show, silent auction, and quilt raffle, Sounds of Spring, begins today in the parish hall. Evergreen Quilters created all the quilted items, and 100% of your generous bids and raffle ticket purchases will be donated to programs that help the homeless and hungry in the local community, including Sharing Corner Food Shelf, The Family Place, and Jeremiah Program. This year, a portion of the money raised will also be donated to the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee's Haiti Fund. For more information or to purchase raffle tickets, please stop by the quilters table in the parish hall today. Bidding on the silent auction items will close, and the raffle winner will be drawn on Sunday, April 25th. It will be me, but you can show up anyways. Each month during May, Unity Church offers emergency shelter to homeless families through a program of the St. Paul Area Council of Churches called Project Home. Families stay in our religious education spaces downstairs, and several volunteer hosts are needed for each night. Please visit the Project Home table in the parish hall today and sign up to be a host or to get more information about helping behind the scenes. Wellspring Wednesday on April 7th will feature a discussion entitled Wrongful Convictions and the Innocence Project, Minnesota. Attorney and former Innocence Project Minnesota board chair David Schultz will lead this conversation about how the Innocence Project is transforming wrongful convictions and the limits of the law as it concerns the death penalty. Dinner is at 6, reservations are not required, and the program begins at 7. Today, our chalice lighter is Aaron Vanek. Following the service, please visit the parish hall and stop by the bookstall or stop by the pastoral care table to leave a note of care for someone who is mentioned in the embracing meditation. Upstairs in the Elliott Wing, the Unity Libraries are open for you to explore the diverse and growing selection of books for children and adults. Next Sunday, our April series of transformation continues when Hallman intern Lisa Gundluck and worship associate Amy Kajowski take a look at our past and explore directions of our shared faith in a quickly changing world. Services are at 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and 4:30 p.m. Following the service today, Rob, Jan, Lisa, and I would love to greet you by the Portland Avenue doors. Once again, welcome to Unity Church. It is a joy to be together. Come, tender as the first garden shoot, reaching for the sun's nurturing warmth to change and grow. Come, timeless as the evergreen, unchanged by the turning of the seasons, rooted deeply in tradition. Witness the transformation of frozen ground into fertile ground. Witness the ancient wisdom that brings meaning to our lives, illuminating love's triumph over death. The wintering of our souls is past. Morning has broken on life's greenest, most joyous promise. Come, let us worship together.
Will you stay standing, please, and read with me these wonderful words from our colleague Clark Dewey Wells, number 624 in the back of your hymnals. God of Easter and infrequent spring, announce the large covenant to deceitful lands. Drive the sweet liquor through our parched veins. Lure us to fresh schemes of life. Rouse us from tiredness, self-pity. Wet us for use. Fire us with good passion. Restore in us the love of living. Bind us to fear and hope again. Please be seated.
Each time we gather for worship, we set aside a moment to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together, we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that is at the center of this sacred community. Our hearts are always with those whose primary spiritual practice is the caring of young children, with those who care for family members in ill health, and who themselves live with grief or chronic pain, with mental illness or addictions. And we are blessed with those who knowingly and with curiosity and courage face their final days. We pray for our neighbors in prison and for those who struggle to keep going in the midst of economic upheaval. May the leaders of the world find the wisdom and abiding courage to inspire and institute positive change. May we hold the leaders of this beloved congregation as they imagine and plan for our future. And will you pray with me for all these I now name? We celebrate the life and mourn the death of Lynn Burton's husband, Tom Feeney, who died on Thursday. A memorial service to celebrate his life will be held this Friday afternoon here in the sanctuary. We are with Todd Graham, his wife Jennifer, daughters Elena and Zoe, as they grieve the loss of Todd's grandmother, Molly Rosenfeld Flegg, who died this past week at the age of 98. We send healing thoughts and prayers to Amanda Molstad, Ellen Merlin's sister, who is recovering from complications from surgery in the hospital. And we are delighted to announce the birth of one more Redeemer. Maya Rose Whitrock was born this past week. Parents Lindsay and Jeff are as thrilled as Maya's siblings at her arrival. And now I invite you to share the names of those people you would like you bring with you today, those people you would like to celebrate, memorialize, or bring into the healing embrace of this lovely congregation. for the names which have been spoken and the names which remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, may we be forever grateful for this tapestry we weave together. And finally, may we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. And now will you join with me in another moment of prayer? Holy Spirit, Spirit of mystery and love, in this season of emerging spring, may we draw courage from the crocus, who again and again risks itself to be among the first to push up through the soil. May our hearts be enlivened with the sight of birds returning from long journeys and building nests. May we be restored by their sweet melodies and familiar songs. May our hope be renewed by the chirping of the spring peeper, who has only recently reemerged from the muck and the mud, whose message seems always to be, "How can I keep from singing?" May we notice all the reminders emerging these days that we all are allowed more than one birth, that no matter how many times we disappoint ourselves, are disappointed in one another, or simply in our weariness disappointed by life, that we have, in fact, each moment another opportunity to see the real freedom of this life and to meet one more face of the holy. May it be so, and amen.
And let the people say amen.
I would love to be joined up front here by the children and the youth, because I miss you. Come on up here and find a spot to sit on the carpet up here with me. And parents, if you have a wiggly one or a nervous one, feel free to come up with them. Do you hear that? Can you hear that? Yeah, have you heard that noise before? Does anybody know what makes that delightful racket? What is it? It's a frog. It's a spring peeper. And chorus frogs and bullfrogs, all that noise that we hear when we're anywhere outside right now in Minnesota, that noise comes from frogs. And if you could find them, you would see that they are small enough to fit on the end of your finger. The spring peepers and the chorus frogs are out in force right now, singing in the spring. And let me tell you, I am here to campaign for the frog as the official critter of Easter. I say, down with the Easter bunny. What's up with bunnies? They don't even lay eggs. No more Easter bunnies. I want the Easter frog. Let me tell you why. Because if you're going to be talking about transformation and resurrection, the miracles of this holy day, you had better be talking about frogs. We might have to review for the grown-ups here who haven't had an occasion to think about the life cycle of the frog in a while. Do you guys remember how the life cycle of a frog works? What does it start with? Eggs. Easter eggs. Frogs lay eggs, right? And then what hatches out of the eggs? What? Tadpoles, like this one, right? Tadpoles live in the water. They have gills. They swim around. They eat algae. Tadpoles turn into frogs. Exactly. So tadpoles hatch out of eggs, and then they turn into frogs. But somewhere in between here, in between the tadpole and the frog, that's where the miracle happens, right? That's where the transformation happens. Now, this is not growing up. You and I, we grow up. Like, probably you are taller now than you were last Easter, right? And some days you might look at yourself in the mirror and say, wow, my hair's getting long. Or someday one of your teeth might fall out, but it's going to be replaced by, like, another tooth that looks pretty much just like it, right? Because people grow up. But frogs transform. Because what's going to happen to this tadpole one day? What's going to happen? Little tiny legs, right? Little tiny legs come out in the back and then in the front. And then its eyes move. And then its gills disappear and turn into lungs. And what happens to its tail? Disappears, right? And I got to tell you, I've never been a tadpole. But if I were a tadpole, I'd be a little alarmed. Right? Like if one day I were all of a sudden like, I'm growing legs. Excuse me, universe? I don't actually need legs. I live in a puddle. It's shallow. I don't need any legs. In fact, I just got good at swimming. Come on. What's up with the legs? But the legs would grow anyways. And maybe one day I would notice that I felt hungry all the time. It doesn't matter how much green, slimy plant algae I eat with my little tadpole lips. I'm still hungry. I'm hungry for something else. But what? I just don't know. And maybe one day, I would try to breathe in the cool, muddy water through my froggy gills, but they would be disappeared. And all of a sudden, I wouldn't be able to breathe, and I would have to hop, with my legs out onto a log and take in my first breath of that dry, cool spring air. And I would never be able to go back and live in that puddle again. Right. They can breathe through their skin, but a grown-up frog is never going to live in that puddle the same way ever again. And
Maybe the tadpole turned into a frog would be sad. I don't know. Maybe it would be sad until the day that it felt something welling up inside it, and it opened its new frog mouth, and out came its frog song. Frogs are masters of transformation. And you know what? Someday, the universe might ask you to transform too, different from growing up. The universe asked the frog to forget about everything that it was. And when it was a tadpole, it could never even imagine what a frog was. But it becomes it. It becomes something new. It lives life in two whole different worlds. And sometimes people have to transform in ways too. The things that we thought we were disappear. We feel ourselves changing in ways that we maybe don't even understand. But if this happens to you, don't be afraid. Trust that something good is happening with you. Remember the tadpole and the frog. Maybe you used to swim, but now you sing. Now you might say, okay, I am sold. Easter frog. I would vote for the Easter frog today, but wait, that's not all. Because the frog is also a perfect example of resurrection. When I learned about frogs in school, I learned about eggs and tadpoles and grown-up frogs, but they forgot one stage in the life cycle of the frog, especially here in Minnesota. Spring peepers, chorus frogs, they have another stage. Frogsicle. Right? Because it gets really cold in Minnesota in the winter, right? And everything freezes. Ponds freeze, the mud freezes, the whole world freezes. And what does a frog do? It freezes. The frog, in the wintertime, lets itself die. In November, the frog's blood starts to turn to glucose, pure sugar. I suspect some of you have been experimenting with this morning. Pure sugar protects every cell in the frog's body from breaking down and turning back into the earth. It stays a frog, but its heart stops beating, and its lungs stop breathing, and it stops moving. And if you found that tiny frog, it would be frozen solid. Even just a few weeks ago in February, solid as a rock. And for all intents and purposes, that frog is dead. Until the first warm day in spring, when the mud thaws, the frog thaws too. And its heart starts to beat. And its lungs start to breathe. And pretty soon, it hops out of the mud and comes back to life. It is a miracle that science can't even explain. And I have to tell you, it's a miracle that only frogs can make. And you know what the first thing is that the frogs want to do when they come up out of the mud? The very first thing that the frogs want to do is find all the other frogs and get together in a pond and sing their fool heads off. They wake up and they sing, "Where is my choir?" That is the miracle of God. Now, we can't do the things that frogs can do, but we can still be like frogs. Because at those times in our lives when we say, "I'm changing so fast, I don't even recognize myself." Or at those times in our lives when we feel so cold and so frozen, we're not sure what's coming next. We can know like the frog knows that transformation and resurrection bring us new life. And if this tiny, tiny little critter can transform itself from one being into another, if this teeny, tiny frog can resurrect itself from the cold and the dark to join the chorus of life again, the frog can do it. So can we. May it be so, and amen. Thank you for listening. Happy Easter.
next couple of weeks, we will be holding meetings to talk about the future of this building and this congregation. We encourage you to look at your schedule and to find a time that you can come to one of those sessions so that your voice can be heard. Because if you don't go, something essential will be missing. We want to hear from as many of you as possible. Nothing has been decided. We are asking you to help us decide together. As you exit the sanctuary today, members of the Unity Tomorrow team will hand you a postcard telling you when these gatherings will be held. Please decide which one you can attend. Your voice is incredibly important to us. We are delighted on this Easter Sunday for our offering in its totality to go to support the ongoing work of Mano e Mano, a program that we have been invested in for many years. Many of us, a number of us, have traveled on trips with Mano e Mano and seen the incredibly good work that they do in rural Bolivia. A program that started with one suitcase full of medical supplies, is now a major, major nonprofit that celebrated the opening of its 100th medical clinic in rural Bolivia. Not only has Mano e Mano tried to address the health needs of rural Bolivians, but in doing so, they have done things like build airstrips so that a plane can get in and get people to more sophisticated medical treatment. They have built schools. They have created water reserves. They have increased the quality of life for many, many rural Bolivians. It is an incredibly transformative program in the lives of these people who, before Mano e Mano built these clinics, if they got any medical care at all, would frequently have to walk miles and miles and miles of often mountainous or jungle terrain. As the plates pass, I hope you will be as generous as you are able on this beautiful Easter Sunday. Will the ushers please come forward? When we live lives of integrity, service, and joy, generosity is sure to follow. Thank you.
Passover, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
Time, I thought I could not go any closer to grief without dying. I went closer, and I did not die. Surely God had God's hand in this, as well as friends. Still, I was bent, and my laughter, as the poet said, was nowhere to be found. Then my friend Daniel, brave even among lions, "It's not the weight you carry, but how you carry it. Books, bricks, grief, it's all in the way you embrace it, balance it, carry it, when you cannot, would not put it down." So I went practicing. Have you noticed? Have you heard the laughter that comes now and again out of my startled mouth? How I linger to admire the things of this world that are kind and maybe also troubled. Roses in the wind, the sea geese on the steep wave, a love to which there is no reply.
Thank you.
years Easter rolls around, it is as inevitable as colored eggs and Easter candy that your ministers return to their own quaint spring ritual, the Easter argument. What shall it be this year, Jesus or spring? Will we open the service singing Jesus Christ is risen today, or Lo, the earth awakes again? Both are set to the same tune. The first was written by Charles Wesley, author of more than 6,000 hymns, who, with his brother John and their friend Whitefield, founders of Methodism. The second is the work of Samuel Longfellow, who was among 19th century Unitarian preachers most influenced by Transcendentalist Corrective. You want to know more about the Transcendentalist Corrective? Start attending church regularly. The first recounts the history of Jesus and asserts his resurrection. It's a reinforcement of the gospel story. The second enlists the story as a metaphor for spring, claiming once again the word comes true, hallelujah, all the world be made new, hallelujah. Well, which shall it be, friends? This year and last, the friends that opened with Hosea, we do the best we can.
In and get people to more sophisticated medical treatment. They have built schools. They have created water reserves. They have increased the quality of life for many, many rural Bolivians. It is an incredibly transformative program in the lives of these people who before Mano a Mano built these clinics. If they got any medical care at all, would frequently have to walk miles and miles and miles of often mountainous or jungle terrain. As the plates pass, I hope you will be as generous as you are able on this beautiful Easter Sunday. Will the ushers please come forward? live lives of integrity, service, and joy, generosity is sure to follow.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
Time, I thought I could not go any closer to grief without dying. I went closer, and I did not die. Surely God had God's hand in this, as well as friends. Still, I was bent, and my laughter, as the poet said, was nowhere to be found. Then my friend Daniel, brave even among lions, "It's not the weight you carry, but how you carry it." Books, bricks, grief, it's all in the way you embrace it, balance it, carry it, when you cannot, would not put it down. So I went practicing. Have you noticed? Have you heard the laughter that comes now and again out of my startled mouth? How I linger to admire, admire, admire the things of this world that are kind and maybe also troubled. Roses in the wind, the sea geese on the steep wave, the love to which their